podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network. Find every show on the network at 1012network.com. That's T-E-N, the number 12, the word network. And of course, we are partners with Sports Social, the biggest sports podcast network in Europe. I am your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us for our first picks episode of the season. That's the sigh of relief of us finally being able to be here, talk football. Hell, tonight, the day this episode comes out on Thursday, we have our first Big 12 game of the season. It's UCF-Kent State. I don't care if Kent State might be one of the it might be the worst team in FBS. It's just nice to have Big 12 football to finally be kicking this thing off after what felt like the longest talking season of our lifetime. Let's get things started. We got to play some catch up because joining me as they do all season long, every picks episode, my good friends, he is our pro picker, Daniel Alexander.
What's up? We're back. I've been in the country for about 20 hours at this point. I just had an awesome 2 weeks traveling through the UK. Went to Newcastle versus Man City, caught the Fulham Arsenal draw 2-2. That was so sick. Chelsea versus Luton, got a League Two game in, partied with the Stockport boys. I was at a little pub called the Prince Albert. That's what it's really called. It's like 200 years old or something. So, you know, no funny, but get your head out of the gutter, boys. We were partying, drinking, having a great time. Huge cram session for this show, went down on the airplane. I'm ready to rock.
And also joining us, as he will every week and does every year, our defending champ, first time, but hopefully not the last time for him, Chris Ross.
Yeah, cue the music. I should have had some queued up, but I don't. I finally got a win. It's been a long off season. So excited to be back. My interest not nearly as long as Daniel's. I didn't have anything prepared.
I mean, unless you just got back from Europe at a bunch of excellent Premier League matches, that's okay.
I definitely did not get a Prince Albert or whatever Daniel did.
It was a pub in Stockport.
I don't know. Like, there are all sorts of things happen in pubs overseas that I am not privy to. So that's all well and good. That's fine. I'm so glad to have you guys back. I'm glad for the season to be here. It is week one. It is week one of the season. We've got Big 12. I cannot wait. We'll allow the pleasantries to arrive more organically throughout the show as we crack jokes and so on. We got a busy week. Plenty of football in action. Just to kind of let everybody know how this works, because every podcast is someone's first. We pick every non-FCS game. We're not picking the FCS games. There typically aren't lines, and I'm not going to deal with that stuff. So we pick every non-FCS game, every Big 12 game, and then we each pick one non-Big 12 game of our choosing. We keep track all season long and then claim or crown a winner who will receive some alcoholic beverages courtesy of the other two participants. Now, this year we are going to do things a little bit differently because these are going to be longer episodes than usual because there's 14 teams in this conference. So we have earmarked a few games that we've decided are worth spending a little bit more time talking about. And there'll be a few games that we just kind of make picks and move through kind of quickly because we just look. I don't think you want to sit through a 2.5 hour episode, and we don't really want to record a 2.5 hour episode. We could do that. I'm not sure that would be a great idea. And I do this at the end of the day. I would like to go to bed before 1 a.m. So with that said, the 2023 10-12 podcast pick season has officially begun. Let's kick things off with the Thursday night game. The Big 12 season gets underway Thursday night in Orlando at the Bounce House, UCF versus Kent State. As of right now, UCF is about a 35.5 point favorite. I see a couple 36s. We'll see if Daniel will allow us to have those if we need them. Over under at about 56. Chris, as our defending champion, I'm going to allow you the choice of who goes first today.
I'll go ahead and take it. Then I'll let y'all pick my pick. This is only one side of this. If you're going to take, I mean, why would you take a cover on this game if you think UCF, much stronger team here, they're not afraid to run up the score this early in the season. They're not afraid to leave some starters in, and I don't think that's going to change as they get ready for Big 12 play. Get the ones as many reps as they can. Kent State, not good. Breaking a new quarterback with a poor offensive line. This is just UCF all day. I like him to get the win. Maybe I like 45 points, so I'll take the over at 35.5.
Who's next?
Oh, I'm picking. Okay. I want to hear from Daniel. I want to hear how right I am on this.
I don't hate your side. I mean, Kent State's the kind of team where it's like, you know, hold your nose and make your bet and you hope. Although Kent State got blasted today. They were sitting at minus 37. Someone came in, moved the whole market, brought it down. Kent State was at plus 37. Someone moved the whole market down to 35.5. This feels like the kind of game where maybe Kent State will, you know, hang around a little bit for like a quarter and a half. And when you get teams that can run the ball really well, and UCF is set up right now, you know, Plumlee's going to be the quarterback, super deep running back room. I think their third back is like a five-star recruit that is going to get a little shine this year. He was at some SEC school, and there's talk of getting him going. This just feels like the kind of game where the second half really gets away from Kent State. But what I'm looking at here, when you got this big favorite at home, first game, total sitting at 55.5. This just feels like it has going over late for no reason. 45-14, 49-13, something like that. Kent State's trying to rally, push the ball at the end, get themselves a second touchdown in garbage time. I think UCF pours it on in the second half, and I think Kent State does just enough in the fourth quarter to send this game over the total of 55.5.
Okay. Look, Kent State might be the worst team in FBS this year. They're number 132 out of 133 in ESPN's SP Plus rankings. Now, we can all take SP Plus rankings with a grain of salt, but, I mean, if you're picked 132nd, you're probably not the 20th best team. You lost your coaching staff. It's a tough place to win anyways. They lost a ton off that roster. UCF will win this game, and they should win this game big. That's just a lot of points, 35.5. That is a lot of points. I know Kent State's bad, and UCF is good. That's just too many points. They probably will. I can't do that. Like, just principle says I can't take a side that's more than five touchdowns. So, I love when we all disagree. It makes this more interesting. Daniel, I see some 56s on the board, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's absolutely some 56s out there.
Perfect. Because I'm taking the under. I'm probably in the wrong spot, and that's fine. I'm okay with that because I don't feel good about any side here. And this is the most stay away game of stay away games ever for me because totals are too high. Point spread is too big. I can also see a game where a lot of run of the ball, low scoring in the first half, even though Kent State's bad as UCF just kind of whatever. How do the new clock rules play into this stuff? I'm going to take the under because I don't like UCF will have to do all this on their own. They probably could, but I'm staying on the under 56.
I do like that because I agree. That's what I always wonder with Daniel with the overs on these kind of games. If you think that UCF is doing all the scoring, then why would you take the over when it's like 20 more points than UCF covering? But to your point, it is a lot of points, and these spreads are huge. In fact, there's more games this week that we'll get into with these high lines. And I was agreed with you earlier this week. I was actually thinking, oh, that's a ton of points. But then I remembered, it seems like I always think that this part of the season, like, they'll have so many points. But then teams win by like 45, 50 points, 55-point game, and you're like, oh, what was I even – they covered this in, like, the first half. And this feels like one of those games.
Philip, to support you here, Gus, I think Gus is 7-2-1 to the under in his week one games. So that helps you out there. Yeah, 7-2-1 in week one. Head coach at UCF, Gus Malzahn.
I'll take it. Okay. So on that note, by the way, This is our Prize Picks game of the week. Part of this beginning of the season. Part of it is it's the only Big 12 game that they have some opportunities on. Prize Picks game of the week. Sponsor here of the 10-12 podcast, 10-12 Network. It is a fun and easy way to play with a little money, if you want to, on player props. So if you are a UCF fan and you think that Javon Baker, who's been talked about all offseason, a lot of people really high on, myself included, is going to have himself a coming out party in week one against a terrible Kent State team, then you might want to do what I'm going to do and take the over 57.5 receiving yards at Prize Picks. That's my pick of the week on this game. Daniel, what is your pick for UCF Kent State?
But Plumlee rushing yards. Yeah, I think they had him posted at 40.5. Is that correct?
Yes, 40.5.
Yeah, I hope I only do this one time this year. I'm taking the over.
I like it.
Kent State front seven is going to have a hard enough time just trying to contain the backfield of this UCF team. Feels like Plumlee's going to have plenty of opportunities to use his legs. We're going over that 40 number.
Chris, you have a pick in this one?
Yeah, I actually like Daniel's pick. I think I'm going to ride with that. Who knows at this point in the season, right? It's so hard to predict these games at this point with nothing to go on, nothing we've seen yet. But, man, that's a lot of rushing yards for a quarterback. But I like Daniel's pick. I'm going to ride for it. Ride with it.
You guys can make your picks as well. Prize Picks is an easy way to play daily fantasy. It is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players, pick an over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the numbers. Have a ton of stats to prove them. If you don't want to do college football, don't worry. They've got MMA, NFL, WNBA, MLB. Let's see what else we have. We got FIBA, LPGA. So whatever sport you like, they've probably got it on the app. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to download the app. You use the promo code NETWORK12, NETWORK12, and they are going to match your initial deposit up to $100. So you put in $5, they're going to give you $5. You put in $100, they're going to give you $100. It's a great play. Play daily fantasy. Download the app. Promo code NETWORK12. Prize Picks. Match up to $100. Have some fun, guys. Give it a shot. Play along with us this season with Prize Picks. TCU, Colorado. It's a game with a ton of buzz. We'll see if it lives up to the excitement factor, the Deion Sanders factor, the national championship runner-up factor. TCU hosting Colorado on Saturday. TCU currently a 20.5-point favorite. Over under, I see 63s, I see 64s. I think I see a 63.5. We'll have to see how Daniel feels about that one. So speaking of Daniel, based off the order we did in the first round, Daniel, you're up first, sir. What would you like here?
This one's pretty pretty easy one for me to take here and cap, at least for me, but I lose all the time. I'm taking TCU minus 20.5. I mean, it's been so – I can't remember a team that is so bad that has gotten so much offseason hype, and I don't know. Am I really buying that Deion's bringing in an entire new team through the portal and he's patched them all together in the last 6 weeks? And they're going to really come out and be competitive in the Pac-12. I mean, hey, if it happens, absolutely more power to them. You know, Briles is now there with TCU. And let's not forget the quarterback who's starting for TCU. You know, there's a lot of talk, Max Duggan's gone, all this kind of stuff. The kid who's starting was their starter last year. Like, he was the starting quarterback for a team that played in the national championship. He gets hurt. Max comes in. You start winning, right? You stay with the guy who's winning. I get it, but it's not like, you know, they don't have a QB who's like a slouch or doesn't know what's going on. And to me, it feels like this offense is way more predicated on Sonny Dykes and obviously through Briles, and not so much on the receivers and running backs that they lost. And I think O-line too. I mean, I think they just sort of had to reload but if Sonny's system can hold it together with the QB, I sort of don't see that big of a drop-off on the offense. And I really just have no clue on Colorado, what they're supposed to patch together defensively. I think they can score some points. I think they can hang. But we can all already see it. It's going to be 14-7 or 14-10, Colorado at the end of the first. Now people are going to be posting their Colorado to win the Natty tickets, Colorado to win the Pac-12 tickets, and the final score is something like, 48-20 TCU. And they just step on the gas and, 38 or 42 points unanswered or something like that. TCU minus 20.5. We're going to cash this.
TCU is going to win this game. Like, I know that Deion said he was bringing his Louis Vuitton to Boulder, but I think it was I think he bought some fakes. I don't think it's real Louis. I think it could be interesting. Let me think about it this way. Last year, this game was 7-6 at halftime. It could be an interesting game early on, just because these are two of the biggest mystery teams. Like TCU lost a lot. Like Colorado basically ran off their entire roster and replaced it. TCU lost a lot. It does feel like this game could get wonky and kinky and unusual early out of the gate because it's also week one. All of that said, Daniel, I asked you a question and you texted me the answer, so I'm going to read that. I want to give Daniel his credit for supplying me with this one. Since 2012, game one, when each team is playing their first game, the under is 136, 110, and 5 if the total is 60 or more points. This total opened at 59 and has bet all the way up. It was 63.5 earlier today. I've got 64s on the board right now. I know TCU lost a lot on defense. I feel pretty good in saying Colorado's defense is going to be suspect, especially on the off defensive line. I'm taking the under. It's too many points. I'm sorry. I can't believe I'm starting the season with two unders. Like, I'm going to regret this, but I don't care. That's too many points. And if it just keeps going up heading to kickoff, I might put real money on the under because this is getting a little bit crazy. I wonder how much of this is the Sean Lewis effect, because like Kent State games totals like started Kent Sean Lewis got baked into the total when it was Kent State games. They were putting it higher and higher and higher when he was the head coach there. And I wonder if that's a little bit in effect here with this total of Sean Lewis. Guy's a great OC, and he is. He's an incredible OC. It's getting too weird for me in week one game. Too weird. All right, Chris.
Yeah, Colorado has an opportunity to come in, make a statement. But I don't think TCU is going to have any problem giving Colorado an early welcome back to the Big 12. It's interesting, Daniel said, he said something like TCU 48 points, which is how much turnover Colorado's had, over four dozen players in and out of the program since the last time they played a game. It's just too much. TCU will take a step back this year. But, I mean, that's at just under three touchdowns, at just under three touchdowns, I like TCU to get the cover here. I think Daniel's spot on with this one. I'm going to ride with the Frogs to cover the 20.5.
I want to stay on something with TCU. Like, let's give them all the credit in the world, right? Like, last year, they had an amazing season. They were probably, in my opinion, they were probably around the 10th best team in the country, and they got a little lucky. But that's what you have to do to get to the national championship. And, like, are they going to take a step back? I personally don't think that we're going to see them playing in the national championship game this year. But
hot take, Daniel. Know. Hot take.
But just my point being, like, people are going to be talking about, if TCU is a top 15 team in the country or a top 20 team in the country, like, that's going to be a great season for this team and for Sonny Dyke. So, mm-hmm. I think they're going to win this game. But, as the season progresses, if they lose, one or two of those close games that they won last year and people are going to pile on and all that stuff, I just think it'll be unfair. That's all. I just, looking ahead here, TCU had an amazing season last year, and they're going to be a good team. And, if they're the 12th best team or 17th best team in the country or something like that, that's another great year. So,
no, absolutely. They're still a quality team. But, they've had some turnover. And, I don't know. I don't expect them to win the Big 12. I don't know how you feel on that. And that's what I mean by step back. But they're a solid team. They had an incredible year last year. And, it is what it is. It's They're still going to be like a top 15 team.
Love it. No, hey, just one, just give them a little credit, right? I'm not
Yes,
necessarily a
no, I love
Big
it.
12 guy. I'm from the outside looking in a little bit on this conference, but they had a great season, and I still think they're a solid team. So, I don't want people piling on and beating them up when they're the 15th best team in the country.
I don't think anyone's gonna begrudge TCU for taking a step back if they go 8-4, 9-3. Like, it's just it is the way of the world and of college football. That's okay. All right, let's blast through a few of these real quick. Oklahoma opening the season against Arkansas State. Total is at 58. Oklahoma currently a 36.5 point favorite. I think I am up first. I'm just gonna make this quick and easy. Oklahoma blasted through their non-conference schedule last year. The non-conference schedule this year is easier. Oklahoma should be a better team this year than last. Give me Oklahoma to cover the 36.5. Chris.
Actually, I like that. Can we get it at 35 and a half? I thought I saw it at that. But I like the pick. I'm with you. I'm not sold on the Sooners this year. A little spoiler alert for 2 or 3 weeks here down the road. I'm not sold on Venables, but I like him to cover in this one.
Daniel, do I actually see 236s at Winn Station?
Yeah, there is 36s. I'd say consensus line right now in the market's 35 and a half, minus 35 and a half for Oklahoma.
Oh, well then in that case, let's just give ourselves also a nice 35 and a half instead.
Oh
No
yeah. I
reason
mean
no
that's a,
reason to make it
no, no.
harder.
At the time of this recording, that's a very available line.
Right,
So,
Daniel.
we're taking the under in this game. It's going to start slow. Oklahoma State's going to win this game, but if we're going to go into halftime in a situation of, 35-7 or something like that, or 28-7 Oklahoma, this game is going to absolutely shut down in the second half, and this game's going to go under. Under 58.
I see some 58 and a halfs. If you would see South
Give
Point.
them to me.
All
Yeah, give
right.
them to me.
58 and a
Oh,
halfs.
South Point. Oh, yeah.
That one's real. That's a real line.
Yeah.
Texas opening the season against Rice. What a fantastic game that's going to be. Texas, a 35-point favorite. Total is at 59. Chris?
This is another one of those big lines. Rice has enough on offense to kind of blow the cover for Texas. Texas gets the win, but I like Rice to cover, even if it's a backdoor cover. Rice plus 35.
Daniel?
Are there some 35 and a half out there? Because I'm betting this game right now as we
I
speak.
see
I'm
one at Mirage potentially.
No. It's 35. It's 35. It's 35. Yeah, Mirage, they don't count. I'm betting Rice. Look, I don't know if you want to call it a look ahead spot or not, or if you believe in that stuff, but Alabama's on tap. Rice, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they get the kid with JT Daniels, right? Didn't they added him to the mix? I don't know. It's like he's not crap. They got someone competent. The coaching staff's been there now for 5 or 6 years. Like, look ahead spot for Texas. 35 just
That
seems like a
should be
lot
their
for
tagline. We're not crap.
I mean, are they good? Probably not, but not crap. So yeah, Rice plus 35, look ahead spot for Texas. I'll take it.
Texas has not released a depth chart for this week. Yes, I think Texas is going to play conservative. I think Texas is going to beat Rice and have no problem and keep it as close to the vest as possible before they have to go to Tuscaloosa in week two. Rice, I think they won. Did they win five games? Slash Rice. Rice is there's a very real Rice is strapping for a new head coach at some point in this season.
Yeah, they won five. They won five last year.
It's still Rice. I'm sorry. I don't know if Rice can do enough to do the cover. I don't like when we're a consensus. Texas should keep things close to that, but do the vest. I'm actually going to take the under 59 in this one. All right. Baylor versus Texas State. This is the last one we're going to blast through before we take a little time to talk about some things. Baylor is currently a 27.5 point favorite. I think I see some 28s against Texas State. Total. This one's a little all over the board. I see 61, 61s, and a half. Daniel, what would you like here, sir?
Give me Baylor to cover. He is head coach Dave, man. He's 3-0 with those giant spreads like that so far. So he's going to keep it going. He's going to become 4-0. He doesn't take his foot off the gas. He doesn't mind blowing teams out at all. So he did it at Texas State last year too. What was it, 42-7 or something like that? 49-7 versus those guys. Yeah, give it to me.
Texas State, new head coach. I'm very excited to keep an eye on him. I literally just went brain dead and forgot his name. He was at Incarnate Word last year. He was an OC at UCF. He played for Tulsa. I'm keeping an eye on it. He's bringing what is going to be a very fun offense. It's going to be very spread out. A lot of plays, a lot of offense. Probably trying to really put up some points. This is game one. It's going to get ugly. Baylor should roll here without any problems. I will also take Baylor to cover the 27.5. Chris?
Yeah, let's just make it a sweep. Eventually, I'm going to have to disagree with Daniel at some point here. But yeah, that's what I have. Texas State, their new offense, I mean, if you blink, you might miss their offensive possession, and Baylor's going to have the ball right back and you know, run up the score. I feel like Texas State is just going to have a hard time getting it going. A lot of quick three and outs. And it's just going to be a long day for the Bobcats there.
And we have now guaranteed a Texas State cover.
Yep.
On to the next game.
There you go.
Yep, yeah. Backdoor cover. Oh, man, I know I should have taken the over. That head coach is G.J. Kinney. G.J. Kinney, the name that I could not think of. That's all right. All right, we're going to move on now. It's been a little time talking about what I think is going to be the most interesting games in the Big 12 this weekend. But before we do that, one of the most interesting things you can do this weekend is go and shop at Charlie Hustle, new sponsor here on the 1012 podcast and the 1012 network as a whole, our new partners, and I love them. Our friends at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best dressed fan this season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today and show off your school spirit all season long. They have more than 30 schools to choose from, including all of the current Big 12 teams except for Cincinnati. Patience, Bearcats. They're working on it. They've got Colorado, who'll be part of the Big 12 again soon, and oh, folks, some of these designs are just absolutely incredible. The Citronaut shirt for UCF is an absolute, I have to have it. I must. I've been wanting a UCF shirt. I've got to find one. It's the best Citronaut shirt that I have seen. Y'all, the stuff is good. It's so good. The Baylor collection is fantastic. They got a Baylor stiff arm shirt that I must have. They got a Baylor Bears baseball raglan shirt with the script bear or Baylor on it. Folks, this is just, oh, it's so good. It's so good. There's a Texas Tech shirt that has like kind of cartoonish Texas Tech and has the mascot with some smoking pistols. It's fantastic. It's so good. Go to charliehustle.com. Once you pick out the things you're going to buy, because you're not going to be like, nope, you're going to find a few things. You're going to want them. You're going to want to be rocking them this season. Use the promo code 101215. That's TEN1215 for 15% off your order. Not just your first order, any order you place at charliehustle.com on anything non-sale items. Go check it out now. Go support Charlie Hustle. These folks are based in Kansas City. They are working with the Big 12. They are investing in the Big 12. They want to treat the Big 12 like the conference that it should, the way it should be treated. But they love the Big 12. So go to charliehustle.com. Use that promo code 101215, TEN1215, for 15% off your order. Charlie Hustle, vintage, made fresh. All right, speaking of fresh, that's what I feel like this Houston-UTSA game is going to be this weekend. I cannot wait for this. I cannot wait for this game. This has the absolute makings of potentially the best Big 12 game in the opening weekend. You've got Houston. Not sure what to expect for them after a disappointing year. We all know how Daniel feels about Dana Holgorsen. I'm sure he'll share his thoughts in a minute, though I enjoy some of the very blunt comments that he had to say about Oklahoma and Texas. UTSA, I mean, G5 darling, just so much fun. How can you not love the Roadrunners? UTSA is a 2-point favorite over Houston at Houston. Total on this one, I've got 60s, I've got 61s, I've got 60.5s. If you want a total, we can shop around and find you the best one. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. It's me going first. I love the Roadrunners, and 2 years ago when I won our picks pods for the season, I did a lot of UTSA picks for my non-Big 12, and won a lot of my non-Big 12 picks because I rode with UTSA. Unfortunately, I'm actually going to take Houston here, and I know it doesn't make sense, and I like UTSA, and they've got back quite a bit. new offensive coordinator, they lost their best wide receiver. I'm still in the Donovan Smith fan club coming over from Texas Tech to Houston. I think Houston will have enough at home in week one to take care of UTSA in another close game, even though this is probably a revenge game because UTSA had that game last year, then Houston came back and got the win. I trust Houston here as a two-point dog. Get the win. I'll take Houston plus two at home. Chris?
Yeah. Phil, real quick, how many kids do you have now? Three?
I have three children, ages four and under.
Four and under. So when Frank Harris started at UTSA, the kids weren't even a thought yet. This is a seventh-year quarterback.
A glisten in my eye.
Yeah, this seventh-year quarterback. That's just, I mean, you have to put it in perspective. 7 years is unbelievable. Man, UTSA is going to be good. They're Houston. I mean, they're bringing Donovan Smith. He's a decent quarterback. I don't have anything against him, but I just have no faith in Dana Holgorsen. I kind of am there with Daniel. A solid team with a proven leader and an experienced team versus a team with some turnover, a coach that has had multiple opportunities to prove himself but has failed to walk through that door. In a close game, give me UTSA. I think it's all for 1.5, so if I can get that half point, yeah, that would be good.
It's minus two right now. I mean,
is it? All right.
So, yeah, if you're taking it.
Yeah, yeah, UTSA minus two.
Daniel?
Yeah. Oh, my turn. You know what? I love Dana. I would never besmirch.
What happened this offseason? Did you guys like meet up, have beers?
Just,
like,
you know what? I'm turning over a new leaf. I love Dana Holgorsen. No, look, it's hard to see a lot of paths to success for this Houston team. I know they brought in they got the new QB people are excited about, but like Clayton Tune wasn't bad. I would even say like he was a little underrated. You lose him and you lose Tank Dell, and then they had another receiver too. It was pretty decent. Like, you don't just sort of you're a team like Houston, you don't just replace that in the portal and with like a couple good practices. Like that was real production on a team that wasn't very good. So it's hard to see where they make up for that, especially early on. But that's not even their biggest problem. Like their defense was already awful, and I could be wrong. Again, cram sessions on the plane here. I think they're bringing back three guys on defense, and it's not like they got a bunch of five-star guys from the portal to come in and help. And does this defense get any better? Is it maybe worse? I don't know. Like the guys returning, what do they think of this coach? Anyway, I bet UTSA, actually, I bet them 3 months ago. I had one book that had them at plus three, and it was a widely available book. It wasn't Joe, the local bookmaker, had some bad number. UTSA was sitting at plus 2.5, and you could even get sort of an expensive plus three for a full month back in June. So I had one book where I was able to bet it. So I bet UTSA plus three. I'm very happy, obviously, with the line move now, picking up 5.5 points. One place, though, I'm going to take this is I'm going to go to the under. I do think UTSA covers this game. I just can't go pick him at minus two when I've already got money on him at plus three. But what I foresee here is a Houston defense that will not be able to get off the field on the second half, a UTSA team that is cruising, maybe a 31-14 or something like that. 28-13 in the second half. And they're able to sort of run the ball, extend drives, 5, 6, 7 minute drives. This game goes under the 60 that's posted. UTSA wins big.
Let's see. Who's providing these? Win and Station look to have 61s.
Where's Circa right now? They're at 60 flat, right?
Man, I got to do some scrolling to find these numbers. It's really frustrating. Looks like, yeah, they've got a 60 flat.
If Wynn and Station are the only two 61s in the world, that feels a little bit like cheating. Let's give me 60.5.
I'll give it to you. 60 and well, so split. Yeah, split the difference. Yeah. I like it. Okay. I love it. Everyone's got something different. It's so much more fun that way. All right. NBC primetime game, huge game, Happy Valley. If you don't listen to Raspy Voice Kids, our West Virginia podcast here on the network, you absolutely should. Their Why We Hate Penn State is fantastic. We've got clips posted on our social media. That includes Threads, Instagram, and Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Whether or not this is actually a good game is something that we will see. At the moment, Penn State is a 20.5-point favorite. Our Mountaineers are a dog. Total is at pretty much a consensus 50 across the board. Looks like, Chris, you're up first, sir.
I would like West Virginia to be better, so I'd have any faith in them in this game. Unfortunately, West Virginia is going to have to get a run game going. I don't know how they do that against this Penn State rush defense. West Virginia might be able to keep it close for a while, but I expect Penn State just to overwhelm them, just to be too much at home. West Virginia on the road. It is what it is. The new clock rule may shorten this game some, keep some points off the board. I would. Would you say the under was at? The over under?
The total is 50.
I was leaning to Penn State at the cover at just shy of 3 touchdowns, that at 20.5. But now, you know, I'm going to take an under. I very rarely take over unders. I'll take an under. I think the new clock rule shortens this game a little bit, and I have a hard time hitting that.
All right, Daniel.
Yeah, Chris stole my thunder. For me, it's not the clock though. For me, it's feels like West Virginia lost everybody on offense, except for the QB that they started at the end of the year last year. I know he's back, but
receivers, yes. Garrett Green's back at QB, and they brought back most of the offensive line.
Yeah, I was going to say the O line.
They have a new running back though, right?
CJ Donaldson was there last year. He got hurt last year, but he was a first time running back last year as a tight end, but he's back.
Just feels like West Virginia feels like they might be a little bit one-dimensional on Saturday. Obviously, we don't know. I'm making some assumptions. They're going to be a little bit one-dimensional and rely on the run against a Penn State defense that is very good. And Penn State's pass defense is excellent for college football this season. So even if West Virginia tries to go to the air, I just don't see a lot of success. On the flip side of that, West Virginia's D isn't terrible, right? What's some slogans now in the Big 12? We're not crap. Okay, so West Virginia, they're going to be able to hang a little bit with this Penn State offense. I mean, the spread is -20.5 for a reason, because Penn State's going to score. But this doesn't feel like a shootout. This doesn't feel like a blowout. This feels like there's going to be a lot of plays in 4-yard runs, 3-yard runs, 7-yard runs. Penn State moves the clock in the second half. This game's going under 50. And it's not, you know, I know the clock rule is what it is, but I think more it's just because of West Virginia's scheme and that their only strength, in quotes, is because of their defense.
Got a lot of Chris and Daniel agreeing here.
Yeah, I don't love it. This is room for you to shine, is what
all
that
right,
is.
Well, here, and you know what? The easy pick is to say Penn State's too good. Picker. They're at home. They're going to blast West Virginia. They're going to win huge. I'm not super confident in West Virginia's defense. I am confident in West Virginia's offensive line. I think they have a C.J. Donaldson and some good backs. I don't know what to expect from the wide receivers. And I think Garrett Green is mobile. I think in game one, I hearken back to last year when West Virginia went on the road to Pittsburgh and basically fumbled away a huge win. Penn State this year is far better than Pitt was last year. I'm not gonna say that those are on even field, but I think West Virginia is going to be up for what is still, to some extent, a rivalry game for them. I think West Virginia is going to play, understanding how everyone's been talking about them, understanding what's on the line for Neil Brown, hearing, you know, being picked last in the preseason poll. Like, I think week one and early part of the season is where West Virginia is going to probably play their best football. It's the back half of the season where I have questions, as I have real questions about them on the defensive side of the ball. I am going to take West Virginia to cover in this game at +20.5. I think it being low scoring, I think West Virginia will be able to do enough on offense to keep this game closer than I think most people expect. I get you got Penn State, who everyone's talking about could be This could be their year. This is the year for them. Win the Big Ten, go to the playoff before it expands to 12 teams. This is how good this Penn State is. Everything they've been building to, this is the year for Penn State. And I'm not going to argue against that because of the amount of talent that's there. But I've been told Penn State's really good for a while now, and they've been at best third fiddle in their division in the Big Ten. So, like, I'll see that Penn State is the awesome juggernaut, make it to the playoff, win the Big Ten. I'll believe it when I see it. And I trust West Virginia in a semi-rivalry game on the road in week one to come out and play their absolute best football. Win? No. Cover essentially a 3-touchdown spread? Yeah, I'll take it. All right. We got one last game to really spend some time on, one more to get through. This is definitely an interesting game because anytime a Power 5 team goes on the road to a G5 opponent, we've got an interesting matchup. We've got an interesting matchup. Texas Tech going on the road to Laramie, Wyoming to face Wyoming. Texas Tech is a 14-point favorite. Total in this game right now is about 50.5 pretty much across the board. I think I'm up first here. Perfect. I love that. I'm just going to say what my pick is right here. I am taking Wyoming plus 14. Now, I think Texas Tech is going to win this game. I don't think Wyoming is, like, live to win this game. Wyoming is top 5 in returning production. They bring 83% of their last year's roster. People are very high on Tech. It's easy to bet Tech. Tech's the dark horse of the Big 12. You got people picking Tech to make it to the Big 12 title game. Meanwhile, I think Wyoming's the dark horse in the Mountain West. Like, Boise State's the favorite, and I think Boise State will win the Mountain West. This is a sneaky good Wyoming team. You're going on the road to Laramie. Chances of isolated thunderstorms during this game and a 13-mile-per-hour wind. Give me all that in week one on the road in a weird situation against a better-than-people-probably-realize team for a dark horse. Everyone's high on Texas Tech in week one. I'll take Wyoming plus 14. Texas Tech wins this game. I'm not picking Wyoming to upset here. Not remotely. But it's just a weird game in week one. I don't love Texas Tech and weird games in week one. I'm taking Wyoming plus 14. Chris?
Yeah, actually, I think we cut Daniel. But I'm with you on this. I do think Texas Tech is going to be really good. And if they're going to be as good as we think, as good as, you know, the buzz is in Lubbock right now, this is the game that they have to go win. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be, you know, just get out with the win because they're going to want to win. They're just going to be – I don't like this spot for Texas Tech. It's it has kind of upset alert a little bit. If their offense struggles to get going right away, doesn't click, Wyoming manages to score first, get a little momentum – It's one that it could be close down the stretch and then anything can happen. And that would be a tough, tough loss for Texas Tech. So I think you just get in, you try to get your offense comfortable, get it going, take what's given to you and just get the win. I do think Wyoming covers, but I think Texas Tech wins by like 10 or so. Yeah, I think that's all I have on that one.
Yeah, Daniel, you're supposed to be. I'm sorry. I lost track. Look, it's week one of making picks. We're going to work out all the weirdness ourselves in this one, right? You're going to have some mistakes ourselves. So, Daniel, what's your pick here?
This is tough, but you both picked Wyoming, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is nothing I would bet. I'm probably going to have no money on this game. If I have some money, it'll probably end up being the under, but I have not fired yet. I actually liked Texas Tech at minus 14 in this game. Correct me if I'm wrong. Again, cram session. I don't know it. I know I've said that like every single time with teams on this, but it's like so much of my homework was done between drinking and traveling in the last month.
Colin.
Texas Tech's offense is going to be really good this year.
It should be.
Should definitely be, you know, should and definitely don't work together, but like talking top 20 in the country, like, isn't nuts. It isn't crazy to me. It's like, so if they come out week one and they're actually good, it's hard to see how Wyoming can hang around and cover that game if Texas Tech's offense is good. With their experience at quarterback, with their loaded wide receiver room, just feels like it's going to be a little too much to handle for this Wyoming team if they aren't able to score. And I do think Texas Tech's defense will be good enough to corral Wyoming's offense. Now, Wyoming's a crazy team, man. They had some games last year where it's like they'd go put up like 30 points and a half. You'd be like, what is going on up in Wyoming? So, you know, it's tough for me to cap this game week one with these two teams. But if Texas Tech's offense is what I think it's going to be, I think they should cover this game against Wyoming.
Okay. All right. Well, Daniel, you should have gone first. Go ahead.
As I said, I know we're opposite, but I actually kind of like it because there is a side of me that thinks that while we think this is going to be close, while Wyoming could pose a threat, after, you know, by this time next week, we'd be like, what were we even worried about? Texas Tech covers it easily and just moves on because they could be that good.
They could. I also wonder, you know, we talked about Texas look ahead factor with Alabama. Texas Tech has Oregon in Lubbock in week two. If you want to talk about potential look ahead, potential concern about that game. So, last Big 12 game on the slate for us, BYU, Big 12 newcomer facing Sam Houston State, FBS newcomer. BYU is a 19 point, man, this line is all over. I see 19, 19 and a half. I see a 20s. Total is around 46 and a half. I think that looks about the most consensus. Daniel, since you were supposed to go first last time and I skipped you, I'm sorry. You're up first here, bud.
God, this is just, I'm just going to be guessing. I couldn't even tell. Who's BYU playing?
Sam Houston State.
What state is that? Is that the 51st state here?
Yes.
Okay.
It's actually an independent country located in the state of Texas. Its own sovereign. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
I'm going under. It feels like when Big 12 plays these tiny schools week one, like we were talking about earlier. It's like second half of there's like 6 points scored in the second half. Absolutely nothing happens. Everyone just sits on the ball. We're going under.
Okay. I think the consensus is pretty much 46 and a half.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
So under 46 and a half. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe much in BYU's defense. I do believe in BYU's offense. I don't know squat about Sam Houston State. This was an FCS team last year. It was a good FCS team. It's been a good FCS program. They've made it to the playoffs. But I don't know. So, Daniel, I'm going to go opposite of you and take the over and think that BYU is going to put up some points in this game and have a little fun in this game before the schedule gets tough. And Sam Houston coming up with some of that, you know, Texas skill talent puts up a few points and we push just past the over. Chris?
Yeah, I actually kind of like Sam Houston here. They're coming in with a lot of confidence. They're jumping up, you know, they haven't been beaten down yet. They have an opportunity to make a statement here against BYU. BYU has bigger fish to fry down the road. I don't know. I could see Sam Houston covering this. They're a good squad. So I'll take the 20 points.
Yeah, I see a few 20s on the board. We'll give you Sam Houston State plus 20. All right. We wrap this show up the same way we wrap up every week with our non-Big 12 pick. You guys can pick any game that's not Big 12 related from the board, minus FCS games, of course. You can take the total. You can take the over-under. Or this year, you can take the game straight up, but you have to take the dog. You cannot take the favorite. I'm not letting anybody take Ohio State beats Indiana. They're a 35.5-point favorite. We ain't playing that game, fellas. So, Chris?
Is there an advantage to taking straight up money line?
No, it's just if you want to. I'm just trying to, sweeten the pot here. I'm giving you more opportunities.
Yeah, some bragging rights, dude. Yeah, it's what you did.
Okay. So Chris, I'm going to ride with nothing to go on. I don't like betting at this point in the season. I like to have 3 or 4 weeks of data to look at
Don't we all?
before I'm making picks. So I'm just going to go to my tried and true and take Coastal Carolina for no other reason than it is Coastal Carolina. They're playing UCLA. They're a 14.5 point dog. If I can get more points than that, I'll take it. But Coastal Carolina.
You cannot get any more points than that. It is a consensus 14.5 against UCLA. Of course, Coastal Carolina head coach off to Liberty. Not his fault. He couldn't get a real, couldn't get a better job, and Liberty gives him more money. So, Daniel.
Look, I don't want people to bet this, but for the sake of the pod, I think it's a lot of fun. I took Hawaii +7 against Stanford on Friday night. I think Hawaii is going to win the game straight up, but I'm not going to take them straight up since I have the benefit of getting the points. Hawaii is at home against what will be, I mean, one of the worst Stanford teams since, like when Harbaugh took over, whatever, they were 1-9 or something, or that level of Stanford team is what should be fielded this year. Hawaii's going to win this game straight up. Give me the 3.5.
Hawaii 3.5. I like it. I have, I don't remember, I think I said this at the top. There are only three real bets I've made so far, future bets. It's the Iowa State team total under. And I have bet on what I'm going to call my G5 darling of this season. That is South Alabama. I bet on them to win the Sun Belt West. I like Kane Womack. Kane Womack's going to be a Power 5 coach. I hope he doesn't just go to the SEC, even though he's an SEC guy from the South. I'd love to see him in the Big 12. I think he is a great coach. South Alabama hadn't had a winning season since it came up to FBS. They won 10 games last year. They didn't lose a lot from last year's roster. They are playing last year's G5 darling, Tulane. Tulane. Tulane favorites to win the AAC this year. Repeat, win that conference again. Doesn't mean as much as it did last year. And I have a thing with G5 teams after like historic seasons, like historically good seasons, where I don't expect you to suddenly fall off the face of the earth, especially when you keep your head coach and your quarterback sticks around. However, they're never quite as good. They're not at the same level as they were. And I like South Alabama. So I get South Alabama +6.5, and I will take South Alabama +6.5. I think this is going to be a good South Alabama team. I think they're going to make this game interesting at the beginning of the season. I don't think this is going to be a Tulane who just blasts through people, especially not earlier in the year. I'm going to take my G5 darling, South Alabama, +6.5. I'm going to talk about them a lot, I feel like. This is my UTSA from 2 years ago, okay? I find my teams, and if they pay off, then I'll keep riding that horse until it's turned to glue. Week one in the books, boys. This was a lot of fun. Always is. Cannot wait. We've got a lot of weeks to come. It'll be us every Thursday. We will have some guests throughout the year. We want to hear your picks. Hit us up on Twitter at 1012 Network, TE and the number 12, the word network. You can hit us up on Instagram if you want to hop into the DMs there. It's 1012 Pod. We are there as well. You can follow our pro picker Daniel on Twitter at DannerB7. Chris is not on Twitter anymore. He has chosen to hop off. Can't say that I blame him. That's perfectly fine. No worries there. Oh, I've lost. I told you, week one. We got a lot of things to work out. We're not the only ones who aren't at mid-season form yet. So, guys, got any closing thoughts?
It's fun to have football back.
Yeah, it's great to have football back. I can't tell if I'm going to go 0-10 this week or 10-0. I mean, this is, I don't know. There's been some rule changes. I
I
don't have a
always
lot of
go into it
feeling.
expecting 0-10. So anything more than that, I'm happy.
In past years, there's been just lines. I've had a handful of games I've absolutely loved and spots I've loved and bet. That UTSA +3 was really the only thing that I loved grabbing. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
All right. I'd like to remind everybody, go shop Charlie Hustle. Don't forget to download Prize Picks. If you decide to follow our picks for yourself, don't blame us. We make no promises, okay? Just
I
a
think we've made it
warning.
clear that we don't know what we're doing.
Well, Daniel
Well,
does.
except for Daniel. Daniel does.
No.
Well,
I don't
no.
know what I'm, let's see. I don't know what I'm doing. I put more time into trying to know what I'm doing.
I think the difference is that like there's Daniel's actually like betting, and then we're forcing Daniel to pick a bunch of games that he doesn't actually want to bet.
Yes. Sure.
Those are two different things.
Sure. I'll take it.
All right, we got the caveat in. Right at the end there. All right, guys, we'll be back on Monday with, goodness gracious sakes alive, with Andy and Jamie as we are throughout the season to recap the weekend that was and talk about the weekend that will be. We'll see y'all then.
Podcast Network.